You're listening to RSJ Radio.
Good morning and welcome to RSJ Radio. I'm Kaz Boivin.
And I'm Neha Karam. Today's top headlines: an attack by Al-Qaeda on a resort in Ivory Coast, Toronto introducing safe injection sites, and St. Patrick's Day is on the way. But first...
Turkish warplanes have attacked Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, positions. It follows after a suicide bombing in Ankara last night killed 37 people. Security sources in Turkey said that one of the suicide bombers was a female member of the PKK. The aerial bombing campaign comes as part of an overall crackdown on terror ordered by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
16 people are dead after a gun attack on a beach resort in Ivory Coast. Militants shot at beachgoers, both Ivorians and foreigners. Ivorian officials say that the gunmen have been neutralized. Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb has claimed responsibility for the attack. Ivorian President Al-Assane Ouattara has promised to strengthen the country's security.
Brazilians took to the streets this weekend in anti-government protests. Police sources estimate that 3.5 million people participated in demonstrations on Sunday across all 26 states. President Dilma Rousseff is the target of public anger for corruption and the recession. Her party has recently faced an impeachment challenge and a major corruption scandal. Brazilians are suffering through the worst recession in a century.
Toronto's Board of Health is moving closer to establishing safe injection sites across the city. The sites allow people to shoot heroin while supervised by nurses. Their aim is to prevent overdoses and the spread of infections. Current legislation requires cities to obtain approval from the federal government to introduce the sites. The Board of Health will consider the safe injection sites next week.
Get out the shamrocks, it's almost St. Patrick's Day. But this year, the Irish have something else up their green sleeves. It's the 100th anniversary of a pivotal event in Irish history, the Easter Rising.
In 1916, the Irish fought for independence from Britain and won. Ireland's poetry chair is Keith Payne. He explains the significance of this anniversary.
It potentially could be a marvelous year to kind of take a good, serious look at whether or not we have fulfilled the wishes and desires of those revolutionary ideals, whether we in fact have a republic.
Easter Rising was this year's theme of Toronto's St. Patrick's Parade. Parade Grand Marshal Sid Ryan spoke at Casa Loma about Ireland's revolution.
They talked about a society that was just, and they talked about equality of the sexes. Sisters and brothers, 100 years ago, the Irish were speaking about what we are trying to achieve here today.
Irish parade goers were decked out in leprechaun hats. They were joined by a Filipino marching band, Japanese taiko players, and Caribbean steel drums. Volunteer John Molloy remembers a simpler St. Paddy's in Ireland.
We had bacon and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day, and we had shamrock, we went to mass, and then generally your father went to the pub for a few beers.
But not, says Molloy, green beer.
Disgusting. Definitely a North American thing, not an Irish thing.
Toronto's multicultural parade and belief in equality proves it has commonality with Ireland's revolutionary spirit. Let's raise a non-green pint to another 100 years. Angela Long, RSJ Radio.
A Calgary homeowner says her realtor misrepresented the square footage of her home, costing her $25,000. Pam Whelan bought her home in 2007, but when she tried to sell it 5 years ago, she found that the home was 500 square feet less than advertised. The Real Estate Council of Alberta says there is no evidence that the numbers were changed intentionally.
Had I been presented with the actual square footage, I could have made a more educated guess on whether or not I wanted to proceed in purchasing the home.
Whelan resold the home 2 years ago.
A Blue Jays fan who threatened to toss the statue of Ted Rogers into Lake Ontario on Twitter was visited by police this weekend. The fan, at Toronto Hooligan, says he was visited by police at his Kitchener home on Saturday. The tweet came following Jose Bautista's contract negotiations on February 22nd. He says he was surprised that his tweet was taken seriously, either by police or Rogers. Police would not confirm if Rogers was behind the complaint. Cyclists now weave their way through the busy traffic on Bloor Street, but that could change soon. The city has the green light for change. Olivia Chandler reports.
Many Toronto cyclists are hoping for bike lanes on Bloor Street. The City of Toronto unveiled a new pilot project to the public last week. It plans to install lanes from Shaw Street to Avenue Road. Councillor Joe Cressy says Bloor Street is the perfect location for bike lane infrastructure.
For decades now, Bloor has been identified as an ideal cycling route. It is long, continuous, flat, and it's not encumbered by streetcar tracks.
Biking on Bloor can be challenging. The congestion during rush hour leaves cyclists vulnerable. CycleTO manager Mark Romerill is concerned for cyclist safety.
For people to feel safe and ride more often, they need streets that are going to help them feel safe and give them some separation, especially when traffic is fast and busy.
The city plans to take out one parking lane and add two bike lanes on both sides of Bloor. However, some Torontonians say they'll only cause more traffic congestion. But Councillor Mike Layton is optimistic that rolling out Bloor bike lanes will be a success.
We're in a neighborhood of Toronto that has the highest rate of daily cycling, which is pretty exciting. And if it's going to work anywhere, it's more likely to work in our community.
If approved, more bike bells could be ringing down Bloor Street by midsummer. Olivia Chandler, RSJ Radio.
An openly gay former Royal Canadian Navy officer will go before the Federal Court of Appeal this week. Former sub-lieutenant Paul Ritchie alleges he was denied support, harassed, and compelled to quit during his training at the Naval Engineering School in Halifax. The Navy did offer Ritchie an apology for some errors and a lack of professionalism among its personnel, but the Navy would not acknowledge any sexual discrimination having gone on. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is calling on world leaders to punish Iran after it tested two ballistic missiles. The missiles had the words, "Israel must be wiped out," written on them. Netanyahu called on signatories of the nuclear deal, such as the United States and Britain, to sanction Iran. Iran says the test doesn't violate any of the terms in the deal. The U.S. is considering sanctions.
Canada's biggest film and TV event, the Canadian Screen Awards, happened last night. Our entertainment reporter, Katerina Georgieva, has the scoop.
It was a big night for the Irish-Canadian film Room. It won 9 awards, including Best Film and Best Actress for Brie Larson. Room's 9-year-old Jacob Tremblay won for Best Actor. He was adorable as he took the stage and called his fellow nominee, Christopher Plummer, a legend. First-time host Norm MacDonald announced that from now on, the CSAs will be called The Candies to honor the late, great Canadian comic John Candy. Murdoch Mysteries' Yannick Bisson won the Fans' Choice Award. Schitt's Creek won for Best Comedy Series. Its stars Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy picked up Candies for Best Actress and Actor in a Comedy for their work on the show. Eugene Levy also paid tribute to his longtime friend Martin Short, awarding him the Lifetime Achievement Award. That's the scoop on entertainment. Katerina Georgieva, RSJ Radio.
Bombardier is lobbying the federal government for $1 billion. The company plans on using the money to bolster its faltering C-Series jet. But the Liberal government is concerned about Bombardier's fate because of the number of jobs. The government is expected to make its decision before March, the 22nd budget.
Minister of Veteran Affairs Kent Harris says he wants answers following a rise in the number of veterans using government dollars to pay for medical marijuana. The government has reimbursed 1,320 veterans for medical marijuana so far this year. The Department of Veteran Affairs says it doesn't track the underlying conditions behind the prescriptions. The cost for veteran marijuana has added up to $12.1 million last year.
Ontario is set to ease the burden of poverty on some families this fall by testing a new guaranteed minimum income plan. Finance Minister Charles Sosa says the location of the test is still being decided. Senator Art Eggleton says a guaranteed minimum income would offset traditional social assistance programs and take away from the cost of health care.
A pair of local bloggers are exploring the city one pizza place at a time. Their mission is to find the best slice in each of Toronto's 44 wards. Our reporter, Abby Plenner, has the story.
Tara Gillespie and Claire McWatt love talking Toronto politics. Their shared passion for city issues and pizza inspired these friends to take on a new creative challenge. Gillespie explains the quest for pizza.
I think it combines two of Toronto's really big passions, which is pizza and politics. I've gotten to see a lot of the city, but there's still, when I look on a map, giant parts that I don't know about, and I'd like to get to know those parts.
The pair is chronicling their journey through a blog series. As they review each pizza joint, they're also serving readers with a slice of political knowledge. The blog provides background on local city councilors and key issues. Some topics covered so far include city budgets, public art funding, and condo development. Political campaigner Aliyah Bhatia says she's excited about this project.
I think my favorite part about the Pizza Politeo initiative is that it's so accessible. Creating these new avenues of understanding the city really helps broaden the picture, introduces politics to many people who might have not been interested in otherwise.
You can track the pair's progress by following Pizza Poly T.O. Abby Plenner, RSJ Radio.
A man has died in a hospital after being shot in North York last night. Toronto police responded to reports of a fight involving a man armed with a gun. The fight occurred at the Leslie subway station. One of the men fled to a nearby park. Officers conducting a search of the park got into a confrontation with the man, and a police weapon was fired. The Special Investigations Unit is now probing the incident.
The ExoMars Trace gas orbiter lifted off this morning in Baikonur, Kazakhstan, beginning its journey to the Red Planet. The mission is a joint operation between Russian and European space agencies. The objective is to test whether the origin of methane in the Martian atmosphere is geological or a result of microbial life. A future rover-based mission is expected to follow up the TGO mission between 2018 and 2020.
Syria marks the fifth anniversary of the first anti-government protest on Tuesday. The civil war has left more than 220,000 people dead. More than half of the country's people have been displaced. ISIS, or Daesh, has carried attacks from France to Yemen. Government forces, armed groups, Kurdish fighters, and other rebel groups have carved up Syria.
Two major states vote in tomorrow's Republican primaries. Republicans in Florida and Ohio have say in who will win their party's nomination. About a quarter of the delegates necessary to win are up for grabs.
So now the new group is trying to stop Trump. You've got to get out to vote, folks. You've got to.
Ohio Governor John Kasich will try to win his home state over frontrunner Donald Trump. Senator Marco Rubio tries to remain relevant by winning his home state of Florida. Voting takes place after protests against Trump forced him to cancel a rally in Chicago this weekend. And those are today's top headlines. For RSJ Radio, I'm Kaz Boivin.
And I'm Neha Karam. Thanks for listening.